Good morning, everyone. My name is Brandon, one of the pastors here. It's great to be worshiping with you, whether you're right here in the sanctuary with us or if you're joining us online. Hope you're having a great Labor Day weekend wherever you are. You know, we've seen in this series that we are invited into God's family. We're invited to experience the abundant life Jesus has for us. We've seen that we're all influential. We're all much more influential than we think because one word, one kind act, one random act of kindness can radically alter the trajectory of someone's life. Last week, we saw that we can be invested. We're challenged to be invested in God's work together, to not store all of our resources for ourselves, but to pour them out into a world in great need. In this last message in this I'm In series, we're exploring the fact that you are invaluable. I'm invaluable. I did not say unvaluable as in something that is worthless. No, every single one of us is priceless. We are of infinite worth, a sum no one could ever come up with. We are invaluable beyond any dollars we could ascribe to ourselves. Now, unfortunately, we don't always feel this way, do we? Many times we feel we feel unqualified, unworthy, uncertain, unlovable, unforgivable, unwelcome, unvaluable. We can experience this so early in our lives, even in our days at school. We've all felt some kind of un before. But just because we feel that at various times in our lives does not mean it's true. We hear these voices coming not from God that tell us, if I wasn't here, it wouldn't even matter. What I do doesn't make any difference. That is not the truth. Those are not words from God. Far from it. This is the truth. You, yes, you are invaluable. You are a precious gift to this world made in the very image of God, the same God who made the heavens and the earth and the whole universe. We're reminded that God knit you together in your mother's womb. And God knows the very number of the hairs in your head. That's how intimately, that's how deeply God knows and loves you. You are invaluable in God's sight. Counter those negative voices you hear with the fact that God knit you together and God knows you so well, he knows the very number of hairs on your head. For some of us, it's easier than others because some of us have less hair than other people. But God still loves you the same amount. Now this month, friends, you're going to see some billboards around town, and these are our billboards. They say, you have purpose, you are needed, you have value. When you go to the website that we host, it simply encourages you, much like the scripture I mentioned, to encourage others, to send a text or email that they are amazing, that they are invaluable. Mail a postcard, share it on social media. And people need to be reminded of the fact that they are amazing. In a time when things are so chaotic, when we're divided on so many things, when we can speak so many unkind and hurtful words to each other, everyone needs encouragement. So my challenge to you this month as these billboards are up is to pick one person every day and tell them, encourage them. You are amazing. You have purpose. You are needed. They have value. Pick one person every day for a month and let's spread some encouragement, because they are invaluable. They are invaluable just like you are. God knit you together in your mother's womb. God knows the very number of hairs on your head, and you are amazing. And it's also interesting that God has placed us together at this point in time for a purpose. God could have placed you at any place and any time in history, but here we are, you and I, together now. I frankly am glad to be at a point in time when we have indoor plumbing. But we are here now together for a purpose, to do God's work in the world. We are not only invaluable, we are invaluable to God's work in our neighborhood and in the world. Paul, the great first century church planter and missionary, he gives us a metaphor for what this looks like. Paul wrote at least two letters to the Christians in the ancient town of Corinth. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 today if you want to follow along in your Bible. The people in the church of Corinth, they were a unique lot. Many of them were not of noble birth, meaning they had no status. Many were slaves or they were former slaves. So they were a currently oppressed people or were recently oppressed. They were not highly educated. They could be insecure and self-conscious. It is to this group of people Paul speaks words of encouragement, of correction, and hope as they sought to live as the invaluable people to do God's work in the world. We're going to begin at verse 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul writes, "The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles. Some of us are slaves, some are free. But we've all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit." You know, we have identity both as individuals and as a group together. My name is Brandon, an individual, but I'm also part of a group, a church that Paul calls the body of Christ. And I'm part of a particular tribe of pastors or section of the body of Christ, United Methodist pastors, and the pastor of a specific church named Legacy Church. You know, the name, the designation changes when we move from the individual to the group. You are known differently as a part of the body of Christ. Now, we see this at work in many places in our world, the differences between an individual or a group. Since it is, we're all back in school, and then our kids and our students are all taking pop quizzes, I thought it only fair that all of us take a pop quiz together this morning. So, I'm going to give you the name of an animal, the individual, and you're going to tell me what you call a group of these animals. Okay, you get to shout this morning. First, we'll start out really easy. What is a group of elephants called? I think I heard it out there. It's a herd of elephants. Okay, what about a group of lions? A pride. Thank you, Lion King, for teaching us all what that was. How about cheetahs? I didn't know this one. What's a group of cheetahs called? A coalition. It's a coalition of cheetahs. I don't know who comes up with these. Donkeys. What is a group of donkeys called? This is a pace of donkeys. How about a group of crows? A murder. Yeah, we know that one too. A murder of crows. And this is by far my favorite. What do you call a group of vultures? You call a group of vultures a committee. That's not a joke. That is literally what you call a group of vultures. Somebody was having a really bad day with the team they were working with and decided to call vultures a committee. So, friends, when we choose to say yes to Jesus, we're called a believer, a disciple, or a follower. But then you put us all together, and we notice something different. We are the church. We are the body. We are the family of Christ. We have a unique identity that is distinct from our individual identity as Christians. Our mission at Legacy Together is to be an intentional community of impact, growing hope, healing, and wholeness through Jesus. And that is who we are as the individuals that make up this one church, this one body that is Legacy. One person, one body, one Spirit. Let's keep going in this passage as Paul unpacks it in verse 14. He writes, "Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, 'I'm not a part of the body because I am not a hand,' that doesn't make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, 'I am not a part of the body because I'm not an eye,' would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body was an ear, how would you smell anything?" Now, Paul gives this whole metaphor, this whole chapter, this whole notion in the middle of a conversation about spiritual gifts. Now, some of the Corinthians were idolizing other people's gifts. They wanted gifts that somebody else had. Man, I wish I could pray like Susan over there. Man, I wish I could play the guitar like Phil over there. Man, I wish I could provide words of healing like Karen over there. Some wanted gifts and talents and passions that God just didn't place in them. Paul tells them, and he tells us, we are absolutely needed with whatever gifts, talents, and passions that God has placed in us. We are needed to give our gifts in service to the church. Otherwise, the body is incomplete. An eye cannot force itself to be an ear. Likewise, the foot cannot say, "I'm out," because I'm not a hand. No, we need to live in the gifts, the talents, the passions that God has given us. And it's in living out our roles. It's living out the gifts inside of us that we're going to find life and vitality and passion like we have never experienced before. I remember more than a decade ago now helping out with a vacation Bible school. We had a fun 5 nights together, but by the time we reached the end of it, I was absolutely exhausted. Now, this is not the good exhausted, where you both feel alive and tired at the same time. I was just exhausted. So much so that that night after the last VBS, I went to change out of my VBS clothes. I laid down on the bed, it was like 9 o'clock, and fell asleep for the night. Vicky, my wife, found me there fully clothed with my shoes on, out cold. And that's the time I definitely knew that kids ministry was probably not for me. Now, over the years, I found various spiritual gift inventories that have been helpful in deciding which areas of ministries are the right fit for me. Each time I've taken it in this decade plus now, I come out with some kind of combinations of these, with preaching and leadership and administration. And those are the roles that I've lived into now for a while that I've been in professional ministry, being a campus pastor, a new church start pastor, associate, and lead pastor. If you've never taken a spiritual gift inventory before and you want to, write it on your Connect card. Type it on your Connect card. Tell us, and Stessa, our connections director, will send one to you. And she'll help you explore your gifts, where you might be able to find a place to serve. She'll help you discern whether you're in hand, whether you're an eye, an ear, or even an internal organ, a behind-the-scenes role that is critical to the functioning of the body. Friends, you are invaluable. What you do matters, whether it's an upfront task or not. The prayer team prays through your requests all week and prays for our spaces on Sundays, for people to be able to experience Christ. That is invaluable. Legacy Kids makes space for the youngest of us to be cared for and to find Jesus. That's invaluable. Legacy Students makes room for teenagers to make faith their own. Invaluable. The hospitality team makes all of our spaces warm and inviting, providing coffee and treats so that even if we're brand new, we are greeted and we feel comfortable. That is invaluable. All kinds of our teams, beyond just those, way more. Keep doing this. And the truth is this, you are invaluable. And what you do matters. No matter how small you might think it might be, no matter how small the task might be, it is significant. It is of great worth. Let's go back into this scripture. We'll pick this back up in verse 18. Paul keeps going. He writes, "Our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, 'I don't need you.' The head can't say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' In fact, some of the parts of the body that seem the weakest and the least important are actually the most necessary." The parts that seem the weakest and the least important are actually the most necessary. You might still be a skeptic this morning and think what you do doesn't really matter, but it's simply not true. Every single part of the body matters. Every single part of the church matters. Now take, for example, our hands. They are the tool of our arms on our body. You know, the thumb gets a lot of attention. You play all kinds of games with your thumb. You play thumb wars with your kids and whoever. So the thumb, we talk about it a lot. We get the pointer finger. The pointer finger gets a lot of attention. We pass judgment on each other by pointing at things and use it to yell at our dog, point it that way. And the middle finger, it allows you to snap your fingers. It allows you to snap your fingers to get people's attention. Does it have some other usage? There's also the ring finger. The ring finger gets a lot of attention by its name. And the last one seems to get left out in the cold, our little pinky fingers. Unless you're singing the song about going wee, wee, wee all the way home. It seems that it's the weakest and the least important of all of our fingers. Except our pinky finger contains 50% of the strength in our hands. Can you believe it? 50% of the strength of your hand comes from your little teeny tiny pinky finger. Friends, parts of the body that we don't really discuss are sometimes the most critical to our functioning. Friends, you are invaluable. You are critical to the body of Christ, the church as well. You know, maybe this morning you are asleep to that fact, like how your arm or your leg will fall asleep when you're sitting in a weird position for too long. When I was really young, my dad would mention to me that his leg was asleep, And so I asked which leg was asleep, and very unkindly, I would stomp on it as hard as I could. I was not a very nice son in that moment, right? Friends, you might be asleep this morning, but it is time to wake up. It's time to wake up to the reality that you are invaluable. And it's time to get into the game, to play your part that God has called you to in the body of Christ. There's one final verse from chapter 12 here. Paul says, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Let's say it together. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. One more time. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. That is your takeaway this week. That's your take home. We are all part of Christ's body. We're all a part of it. Now, Paul, the writer here, has spent a couple of chapters, and he's trying to help the Corinthians do this church thing well. He has helped order their worship service. He's told them about communion leading up to this chapter, how it should work. Then he talks to them about spiritual gifts and what it means to be a part of the body. Now, you'd expect after this for him to get into some more specifics. You think Paul would tell you, like, this is how you best pray, and this is what it looks like to live out these gifts of administration and evangelism. But he doesn't do that. Instead, I'm talking about the body and spiritual gifts, and instead of giving us specifics on how to do that, as good as important as specifics on those gifts are, he says, but now let me show you a way of life that is the best of all. And then he launches into a very familiar wedding passage for all of us. As a matter of fact, this passage isn't about weddings at all, but it's about how we as Christians should care for each other and care for everybody in the world. Now, it's mostly okay we use this passage at weddings. It works, but this passage isn't about weddings. It's about our interpersonal relationships with each other. You are invaluable, and what you do matters deeply, so we should care for every single person like this. Paul writes, "If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I'd only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing." Read the rest with me. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. If we pour out this kind of love, living our gifts and talents and passions as the norm, not the exception in our interactions, the world starts to change. People begin to see they are invaluable too. It begins with each one of us individually realizing we ourselves are invaluable, and what we do in the body of Christ matters deeply. You are intrinsically valuable because you are a child of God, made in God's image. You are critically valuable to the mission success of the church. We, the church, are called to be equipped here in all the ways we can be, and then go out into the world and meet the needs of a lost and hurting planet. And we love others like that because, friends, that is how God loves us. Let's pray together. Jesus, we can hear so many voices telling us that we are unworthy, we're unwelcome, we are unlovable. Help us to hear you telling us those are lies. They're absolutely untrue. We are invaluable in your sight, worthy for you to come to show us how to live, die, and rise again so we can live with you each and every day. May we go and pour out the love we receive from you on everyone we encounter this week. We lift up all of the prayers spoken and unspoken today, everything that is weighing on our hearts and our minds, and we pray together in the way that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.